special PNB teleconference Thursday, November 1st, and we're going to call on Chandra to call the roll.
Okay, thank you, Ambrose. Rip Robbins.
Present.
AC Bird.
Here.
Ambrose Lane.
Here.
Rob Robinson. Thomas Ruffin.
Unmute, Rob.
Lisa Davis.
Here.
Ray LaForest.
Present.
Bob Lederer.
Here.
Berthold Reimers. Evelyn Bethune. Sandra Rawline.
Here.
Wendy Schrill. Michael Woodson.
Here.
Lydia Brazon. Margaret Prescott.
Here.
Dave Adelson. Don White. Mary Berg. Not present. Chandra Houtman is here. LaVarne Williams. Sarv Randhawa.
Here.
And Lori Taguma. Do we know of anybody else other than Mary that asked to be excused so I don't keep
going?
Yeah,
she did. Yeah.
But anybody else that we know officially?
No.
That's not going to... Okay, so I'll just call those people later.
I thought I saw, but I don't want to say this officially, but I thought I saw where LaVarne was saying she would have difficulty making it tonight. But.
From what I understand, she can make the first 2 hours,
okay.
And then she has to leave for finance. GM search committee.
Ray, I remember that Don White said that he would have to be late if we held the meeting tonight.
Hi, yeah. It's Rob. I just got off the phone with Don. He has some guests in from out of town that he's trying to get them to their car to do something else. So he's going to try to join us as soon as possible.
Excellent.
With the caveat that he may not be able to be dependent upon.
Well, that's the reason I didn't choose to be it for the whole time. All right, we've got
the call.
We had a roll call. Let's move now to the agenda. Thank you. Let's move now to the agenda. You've got the agenda. Everybody has the agenda?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Mr. Chair, before we approve the agenda, can I get a sense of the body? If the resolution that I put forward is acceptable to people to forward on to Nathan Moore, and that's about against invading Iran.
Mr. Jim?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Margaret, a motion that I second.
It's been moved and seconded. Yes, sir.
As you know, this is a special meeting that was called by three members of the board, and specifically for specific purpose.
Yeah.
And the duration of the call was not to exceed 90 minutes, and the purpose of the meeting was A, the events leading up to, and B, remedies for the use of Pacifica resources to disseminate candidate statements involving violations of the fair campaign provisions. Ballot mailings that have gone out to KPFA and WBAI members during this delicate election cycle. These are the two items that were specifically requested by three members, and this is the purpose of the meeting. And I think any other items that are on the agenda, proposed agenda, are not properly noticed, and they are improper, and they should not be considered at this meeting.
All right. You have the agenda before you.
Mr. Chair, could I just speak to this and explain?
Sarv?
Yes.
Are you objecting to any of the seven items on the agenda?
That's right. They were not.
Which ones?
Let me get the agenda here. Any items that are not these two
no,
items?
No, that won't do. Be specific.
Okay, let me see.
Go ahead, Sandra, while he's.
Okay, I'm not moving this as an agenda item. Let me clarify.
We understood that.
Okay, I'm just getting. I just want to get
you're
a sense
the
of
feel
body.
For the feel for the body as to whether or not it should be brought up at another time.
That I just get a sense of the body. if they will allow me to contact Nathan Moore to prepare a press release, not a press release, a public statement that could be aired as an editorial on the five stations against invading Iran. That's all. And if I get that sense,
you really don't need it. All you have to do is contact whoever you want and ask them to send it to the five stations and ask the stations to take whatever action they want to take.
This is Bob.
Before we go to you, Bob, Sarv, which were the seven items that you object to?
Roll call first is okay. National elections.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Wait, be very specific. We've got to take care
item
of business
one,
here.
Item
which,
two.
Which ones do you object to? I'll come back to you. Bob?
Okay.
Can I get on the stack?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good,
yeah.
Bob.
I think that what Chandra is asking for is reasonable, and I think it would be preferable, and she certainly wants a sounding from this board, not just her as one individual director calling five station managers and asking them would they be willing to air an editorial, but actually having kind of a sentiment, even though we don't formally tonight have a motion on the floor, just saying that the board has expressed a sentiment that this issue needs to be aired in an editorial quickly. So I would support kind of giving her a consensus agreement to that course of action, as long as it's not a consensus to a specific document and exact wording, which we can't go over, but the general sense of opposing an attack on Iran.
Thank you so much.
Ambrose,
Lisa,
Wendy?
Lisa, hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Lisa, you're on.
This was not going to be specifically to what Chandra was talking about, but just something I just want to bring up. Should I defer to other people who want to say something about what Chandra is talking about and come back, or
no? Because I've got to go back to Sar.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
Item 6 and 7 are inappropriate.
Item 6 or 7?
Yes.
6 and 7.
Six
the
and
mailing
seven.
List and the motions regarding publicity promotion issues related to
Margaret.
Yes. Margaret.
Item 6 is not inappropriate. This was properly noticed.
It takes, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
It takes three members to appropriately notice the meeting for a specific purpose, and that item was not in it.
I don't know what you're referring to. I sent a notice to the whole board, to the chair of the board. I was got an email back from the chair of the board saying that this item would be included in the agenda. I sent around a set of questions that seven board members joined with me in signing. So I really object to this. I don't think this is right.
Mr. Chair, this is Ray.
Yes, Ray.
I think the confusion is on Sal's part, is that I believe these two items actually fit within the broader definition that Sal gave. They have to do with the same issues about election and...
Mr. Chairman, this is Sal?
Yes, sir.
this is what the Roberts Rule says, and says a special meeting is a separate session of society held at a time different from that of any other meeting and convened only to consider one or more items of business specified in the call of the meeting. When we called the meeting, these three members, they did not include the rest of those two items.
Well, what Ray is saying is that those two items could be incorporated because of the nature of the call of the meeting.
Okay. All right. If you have time, just add to it. But I'm just saying that that was my objection.
What we can do is make sure that we don't add 40 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
There's been a motion and a second to approve the agenda. Are there any objections?
Can I get on the stack?
Margaret.
And Lisa.
And Wendy.
I'm going to play games tonight, too. All right, Margaret, Wendy, and Lisa.
No, Lisa, then Wendy.
And then Wendy.
And Bob.
And Bob.
I just would like some clarification on the time breakdown, because I would like there to be time to consider the motion that I have sent around to everybody, and I'd like to know what time that's going to be given, since we seem to be joining things here. You know,
which one? Where is your motion on this agenda that was sent out? Not there, is it?
It was circulated to everybody. I sent it around to the entire board, and also had sent around to the entire board earlier.
So you're suggesting we have to add an item 8?
I think it's...
No, I'm saying it's item 6, but somebody, I had understood from what was just said that item 6 was then part of another item. So I'm wondering which item it is, and therefore
well, that's
time
no longer the case.
Those
that's
items
no,
would have.
That's no said. Longer the case. It'll be an item 6.
That's fine.
Any objections to the agenda?
Well, I just wanted to say this is not an objection, but I wanted to throw this out. I just found out about something. They're having a national march against hate crimes and racism on Saturday, and I just drafted up something to ask if we could endorse that. But so
no, can't tonight. All right. Are there any objections to the agenda?
This is Bob.
Yes, Bob.
I wanted to. I'm sorry, Ambrose, but I do actually think we need to extend some of the times, and I have a specific suggestion. because
but I thought the call of the meeting said we're going to spend 90 minutes, period, on this agenda. That's the call of the meeting.
No,
so I don't
actually,
know how you're going to do that.
Well, actually, I'm looking at Dave's call to the meeting right now, and it doesn't say anything about 90 minutes.
Yeah, but that's in error. The call of the meeting said 90 minutes.
Mr. That's Chairman, what I sent out when I sent my original request, Ambrose. That is correct.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
If you add all these minutes, it ends up in 90 minutes.
Well, okay, then I would ask the consent of the body that there are some complicated and difficult issues being raised tonight. It is not realistic that we will get through all of them in 90 minutes. And so I think at the outset, we should be honest about how much time it's really going to take us.
We don't know, Bob. We can only determine that when we get to 90 minutes.
Well, I believe we can determine based on motions that
time.
We've already seen that have been circulated to the board.
But you're wasting time now. Are you objecting to the agenda? That's what I call for. Any objections to this agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. Number one, we've gone through the number one. We now go to number two, NES report and questions.
Hello, this is Casey Peters, your beleaguered national election supervisor.
Yes, Peters.
Things don't always go as planned. We're doing the best we can. The local election supervisor is doing a fine job under the circumstances, and I'm getting a lot of help on the logistical matters, particularly due with the mailing and databases that we're still struggling with. From Les Radke, who was hired as my assistant, last year's national election supervisor. We're facing a number of problems, and I think that the one that really brought this meeting together tonight was the question of an uneven playing field that is created by the phenomenon of a private slate mailing, money that's come in from who knows where, because unlike government entities, we don't have a campaign finance reporting mechanism. Money is being put into these Pacifica elections from who knows where and is creating influence in various ways. And
would you be very, very specific in terms of what has happened in terms of money being put in?
and where?
Well, I can tell
could
you that...
Could I have a point of information, Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Yes, Chandra.
I was under the impression that Casey was asked to be on the call to answer questions, but not to make an election report. Am I correct about that?
Well, according to this agenda that was prepared by Dave, there's an NES report and questions.
Okay, all right.
Well, I know that there's limited time. I would be happy to answer questions, but first let me report that that all the mailings have gone out, and in most locales, people have received their ballots, and of course, we're getting reports of people who have not received their ballots, and we're working on the process of starting to provide replacement ballots. WPFW was lagging in candidate recruitment, and its ballots are just about to go to the mailing house. So the WPFW will be the last station counted. We have altered the vote counting date to respond to each station's given needs. I'd say that KPFA and WBAI are on track for the November 15th close date, and then KPFK is about 10 days after that, and following that we'll do Houston and D.C. And in that order, because those are the last two stations, the one with the fewest listener-sponsor candidates, and so probably the most difficulty in achieving quorum.
All right. Questions?
I think our time would be best spent if you ask me questions, and that way
specific questions.
The information you want.
This is Wendy.
And this
Wendy.
Is Lisa.
Rob, I have a series of questions.
Thank you, Casey. I know you're under a lot of pressure, and I appreciate your work on everything. Why would KPFK be 10 days behind WBAI and KPFA?
The mailing for KPFK didn't go out until the 25th, I believe, of October because of a mailing house issue. And I could go into more details if you want to hear about it.
Well, that is my question about mailings. And so there's a independent candidate mailing, or a, whatever you call it, candidate mailing at KPFK. And I understand that there is one at KPFA and at WBAI. You're saying there was mailing house issues that it delayed the KPFK mailing? There was also a delay in mailing in BAI ballots and BAI independent candidate mailings. Could you elaborate, please?
Yes. We were threatened with a lawsuit because we were insisting that our mailing house be used. And a couple of these slates threatened us with legal action if the ballots were mailed out prior to their mailing. So we agreed to hold back the mailing of the ballots. Fortunately, they've been delivered in a very rapid manner because they were red-tagged and the post office gave them priority.
Margaret, okay. Held back the mailings of the ballots because of the candidate mailings?
Because there were slates in Los Angeles and New York that threatened lawsuits and...
Are you saying that Pacifica was withholding the list so they couldn't do the mailings?
No. We said that they had to use a secure mailing house that we trusted because there had been problems in the past with mailings that were not done in an appropriate manner.
And okay.
So we wanted to make sure that we had better control over that situation.
Is that because we know that why? What's with that mailing house? So it costs a lot more money for them. Is that correct?
Yeah. Excuse me. Can we? There are others of us on the stack. So are we going to extend time, or are we just
limit person,
or what?
I still had the floor. So
okay.
if we want to take the that's okay. I mean, I can be done with the floor, but don't interrupt me.
All right. Did he answer your question, Wendy?
Well, I think we'll probably get farther into it as they go through, so yeah.
Okay. Lisa.
Okay, I have...
Have Margaret on the stack?
After Rob.
Okay. I have, one should be a quicker question. I was just curious because I just heard something new that you said you held back the mailings of the ballots at WDAI. I just want to know when the ballots were supposed to be mailed and when they were actually mailed. And then, but that's just, I have another question. I'll just ask you all at one time because I would like to know why certain statements were allowed to go out in the ballot, specifically the statement pertaining to the candidate that was so racially offensive. I just want to know how that got through there. So if you could just answer those for me, thank you.
Yes. The timeline that we're under now, which fortunately has been changed by a bylaw amendment, but this year we only had a 20-day turnaround from the time that the candidate statements were turned in until they were supposed to have been mailed out. Well, of course, we didn't know that it was going to be delayed, but it makes for a very quick turnaround, and the candidate statements were not reviewed for content. They're merely laid out into the booklets and sent quickly as possible. Hopefully, there will be some clearer guidelines. Right now, the guidelines for the statements are pretty vague. I mean, I made recommendations to the candidates in the candidate packet that they focus on positive issues and that they express their qualifications and all that. Now, there is something in the bylaws that requires them to present their qualifications, and was not met by candidate who had a questionable statement in New York. But that wasn't caught until after it already went to the paper.
So just to be clear, so the candidate statements, because we're talking about Albert Solomon, none of the candidate statements were read before they went into the booklet? Is that it?
They were not reviewed for content. They were simply laid out and sent to the printer, and it wasn't until the statement was posted on the website that we were notified of its inappropriate content.
That's when I first saw that.
Mr. Chairman,
okay, Rob.
Okay. Casey, then you did not read the WBAI and KPFA candidate statements before you authorized their publication and mailing?
That's correct.
We
felt it was a free speech issue that the candidates would say what they wanted.
Okay.
But they had been warned in the fair campaign provisions that they were not supposed to be attacking people.
Okay.
And certainly we expect racist language. That was just
so you didn't review them. Did you consult with the legal counsel before this went to publication?
No.
Okay.
There's no time for any of that with the old.
Okay. The bylaws indicate that the National Election Supervisor is supposed to oversee the nominations process and the preparation of ballots. How do you think this can be done unless the National Election Supervisor reviews them for compliance with things like the fair campaign provisions in the mission?
Well, somebody put the silence on that noise in the background. Go ahead, Casey.
That's a good question. I mean, we're supposed to be free speech radio, and we weren't really looking at the content of people's statements, and we were, I was pretty shocked at some of what had gone on, and I feel that the purpose is laid out in the bylaws that this is the statement is supposed to introduce the candidate to the membership and explain what their qualifications are and what their interests are in serving on the board. That's what the bylaws say, but, there's...
Where in the Pacifica mission or where in the Pacifica bylaws is the type of speech that Mr. Solomon and some of the other people used promoted or given a place in the elections process? Where specifically in the mission or in the bylaws does it say that type of speech is a good thing or is permitted?
Well, I'm not defending that kind of speech, although I will the only
Mr. Chairman,
speak was over.
Yes.
Put somebody on mute.
That's what we ask them to silence that noise in the background. Put it on mute.
John would know. What's the mute number?
I think it's #1.
#1.
But it sounds like the person is not listening to the instruction.
Yeah.
Mr. Peters, I can see in the fair campaign provisions where that it states that foundation monies may not be used for public attacks. I don't see any place where it says that they can be used for public attacks. And yet we have public attacks that were made at WBAI and KPFA. And I'm just trying to figure out what the basis for allowing stuff like that is when it's clearly prescribed.
Well, like I said, it's not that I allowed it. It's just that it got through because we weren't reviewing for content given the time constraint.
Okay.
I just said in place for
are those
for the next
statements public attacks or are they not?
What he said was he didn't review it, Rob. So he didn't see it until it was already done. That's what he's saying. And we can raise questions about the appropriateness of that, but that's what his response is.
Okay.
He didn't review it.
I have a couple more questions, and I'll get off.
Mr. Gilman, I would like to be on the stack.
Mr. Chair, I would like to be on the stack, too.
This is Lavari, Mr. Chair. I'd like to be on the stack, please.
Yeah.
All right. Casey, I understand that there was a letter from the ED, the interim ED, about this issue that had been posted on the website, and it's now been taken down. Do you know anything about that?
Yes. It's still on the Pacifica.org website. However, I deemed that it was inappropriate to leave it on the KPFA website.
You deemed
direct
it.
because it implied that the management a right to sort of tell people how they should vote. Now, reading Dan's statement, I think that he, you know, things in very careful terms, so he wasn't naming names or anything like that. But even so, there were a number of complaints, and I felt that it should be available, but not on the local station website.
All right.
Okay.
So we let some statements go through that shouldn't have gone through. What remedies for the people that have been attacked did you provide?
Well, the remedy should be carried out through the political process. And
what does that mean? How is that a remedy?
Voting membership will decide who is appropriate to serve on the board and who is not.
That's not a remedy. That's like saying if somebody gives you poison, you either die or you don't. But that's not a remedy.
Well, if the statements are
point
fallacious,
of information, there are several other people that would like to ask questions.
Yeah.
I think it would be fair if we could limit it.
And
for each
we have to limit it because we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. So let's go to Margaret.
Let me wrap up with that. That if the statements are fallacious, that the agreed parties can take legal action.
Margaret.
Yes. A point of personal privilege. This is Don White. I'm on the call, but I need to know the mute because I'm going to start my car and it could be a little loud. What is the mute?
#1.
#1. Thanks.
Hurry back, Don.
Okay. Can I go?
Mute.
Yes.
Mute their television.
It's Wendy's house.
Hello?
Margaret.
Yeah. Casey, I'm wondering, you started to speak about the issue of the mailers and the cost of the mailers. And I know that we have very limited time now, and people have other questions, but this is a crucial issue. There's a lot of growing concern about it, certainly at KPFK. And I wonder two things. One, if you would be available to join a call when this agenda item comes up, or if you would like to briefly, state your thoughts or any suggested remedies that you might have for this situation.
Well, I feel that it's inappropriate for these sort of private mailings elections. Now, unfortunately, with a Supreme Court that says E equals free speech, our hands are sort of tied. But I do think that that labor unions and other groups have worked out remedies that say that certain communications abilities will be provided if they do not engage in private mailing. For instance, we now have blogs for our candidates, and we offer a number of other services that are not not in the bylaws. For instance, the posting of questionnaire replies is something that is not in the bylaws, but it's a service, I believe, to the voting membership as well as to the candidates. So candidates could either opt out participating in those things in order to have private mailings, or they could opt in and decide not to participate in private mailing.
Was that a yes?
Right, and Casey, would you be available when this agenda item comes up in case there are very specific opinions needed?
Yeah, I'm supposed to be on KPFK from 7 to 8 talking about the election process, but yeah, call me if you need to.
Right,
okay.
Hello.
Thank you, Margaret. Sarv?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Peters, thank you very much for coming here. And it's very difficult to talk over the noises in the background, but I'll try. First of all, I want to let you know that my intent here is not to minimize the effort you're putting in running these elections. It's not an easy task. However, I do think that there is a problem with this election. And people's confidence that around the network that I've talked to is being eroded at a very fast rate. And by your own admission, when you say that you did not even read the candidate's statement before it got published in the booklet, that doesn't bode well. And also, you mentioned in one of the emails that you did not send first class these ballots, and some of the people that I know, even today in the local area, they have not received their ballots, and you send it third class mail. And so I suggest that, first of all, if you could tell us if you think that, if how do we restore that confidence that our listeners are losing?
Well, I could about the mailing, that it did go out standard rate. It saved the foundation many thousands of dollars, and in many instances, the mail was delivered within 2 days. Last year, when we used first class, we still had the same problems, missing ballots, and that's the nature of doing mass mailing. You know, sometimes people move and they don't get their new address to the radio station. Or there may be other reasons why things don't get delivered, but by and large, I think that the red tagging of the mailing, which is mailing, gives a priority over all other standard rate mailings, has worked very well.
Have you? another question that I have is: have you considered getting some more help from, there's an outfit called Arbitration and Conciliation, or I heard that, you know, they can come and help you in from here on out till you put these ballots and count them and put them in the computer, that in that process, this neutral body can help you in some way to restore the confidence of these listeners here. because I think you're getting emails, a lot of emails, I'm sure of it. And people are asking me why our national election supervisor is not responding to them.
I'm sorry, I missed just the last bit. Why the national election supervisor is what?
Is not responding in a timely manner, yeah.
Ah, well, I can tell you, I get a lot of email in every day, and I don't have a chance to respond to all of it. This is certainly an overwhelming task, but as far as the replacement ballot, those requests should be put in to the local election supervisors, and it's being handled. You know, I can't personally respond to everybody who contacts me about that. I have been as available and responsive as I can be under the circumstances.
Do you have any objection to using the services of groups like SARV suggested to help
no,
you?
No, if you would send me an email about that, then I would be happy to consider that.
Okay.
But as far as the ballot count goes, we already have our process in place where we scan the ballot. The barcode is read to make sure that it's a valid ballot and not a photocopy. And then the information is translated by a scanned image reading program that makes the kind of files that our vote count program can use.
Mr. Peters?
And the problem we had with the vote count last year was really with the slowness of scanning the envelopes. But this year, the barcode is, as prescribed by the bylaws, is actually the ballot itself.
Mr. Peters, my question was regarding the custody of the ballot, the chain of custody, from now to when it goes in the computer, and how that mechanics of it, and have some neutral body come there and help you with that. Would you have any problems?
Well, we'd be happy to consider that. I mean,
okay.
But we have a process for handling the ballot has worked well over the last few years.
Casey, you've answered him. LaVarne.
And please add Bob to the stack.
Bob, LaVarne, you're on.
Brought on stock, okay? Please.
Say that again? LaVarne? She's not there. Go to Bob.
Casey, can you tell us how soon can there be announcements on all five websites that what email address and what phone number people can contact if they don't receive their ballots and they're entitled to them? And also,
yes.
Would you mandate that cards be prepared at all five stations so that, because many voters, again, for the fourth election in a row, are starting to complain.
Thank you,
Bob. We want to put that information up too soon because we wanted people to have a chance to receive their ballots instead of, worrying while the ballots were still on their way to them. But yes, we'll be putting up information very shortly at BAI and KPFA specifically, and the stations that have the later ballot turn-in date, we'll be running those a little bit later.
And one more question. When are the staff ballots going out at WBAI?
No, they've gone out.
Oh my God.
They went out, I think, it was Thursday of last, so a week ago.
Ambrose, I was on the stack also.
Okay, Chandra, you're next, and you're going to be the last one for this segment.
I have two questions for you, Casey. I would like to know why Dan Siegel's letter is still up on the Pacifica website. It is my understanding that the interim executive director or the executive director is not supposed to render opinions about the election, that that's considered outside of the jurisdiction of that job, and that it's supposed to be within the purview of the national election supervisor. And I also think this letter is clearly biased and prejudicial and should not be on the Pacifica website. And I regret that it was on the KPFA website? And then my second question, and then you could answer them in order, is if you could explain to everybody what the chain of command is on the ballots being picked up in the different station areas, I think that would assuage a lot of people's fears as to how the procedure is being handled.
Okay,
so
well,
pick up and then storage.
Yes,
on the ballot.
As far as the letter goes, I haven't had a whole lot of time to consider the role of the Pacifica website. I've been more concerned about the local station websites, but that's something that certainly needs to be considered. And I've heard arguments both ways about it. And I can't answer any further than that, but I'll continue to consider what needs to be done on that. There's been more pressing matters, but I understand your feeling that it's prejudicial, and other people also feel the opposite, given the content of the statements.
Ambrose, this is Dan Siegel. I would like to address that issue.
After he's finished up, I'll turn it over to you then.
Thank you.
We should all have
ask for the chain of command, Casey.
Okay. Now, the chain of command question is that the ballots are handled not by one person, but always with at least three people, including the election supervisor and at least one person from opposing factions. That is to make sure that there's people who are on different sides of the table who are witnessing the handling of the ballots. There's two ways that the ballots are handled. One is by the last day ballot drop.
Martin Williams.
The last day ballot drop. It is done at the station, and there's a lockbox that is taped up, and then that will stay with the local election supervisor until the following day when we do the pickup of the ballots at the post office, and that again is witnessed by observers who are from various sides. And then immediately transported with witnesses to the vote count site. Again, that would be taped up and signed across the tape in a way that it would be very clear if there'd been anything breached. This has been used for since 2003, and we haven't had any problems with it the way it's operated. So far as I know, there's never been a breach of security with a hand ballot.
Okay. Dan?
Thank you, Ambrose.
Can you hear me? This is LaVar.
Yes, thanks. Yeah, you were called on three persons ago, and we're closing out this section.
No, I'm on my cell phone, and the phone would not allow me to get in.
Well, then you have to wait till Dan finishes his statement.
Thank you, LaVar.
Is Casey going away?
No, he's not going away.
I hope not. Listen, I need to respond to what Casey said because I'm surprised that he thinks that it's within his authority to decide whether a statement from the executive director or even the interim executive director is posted on a Pacifica website. It's my belief that the executive director has an obligation to speak to issues of concern to all members, and that issues of hate speech or hateful speech or personal attacks on staff members is something that I believe the executive director should comment on. The statement that I issued was issued after very serious deliberation. I issued a statement which I thought was extremely moderate in tone, did not attack or endorse any candidates by name, but simply spoke to the Pacifica community about what, in my opinion, is a constructive tone for the elections and what, on the contrary, is a non-constructive tone. And I'm sorry if people don't agree with it. Some people are, people don't agree with it. They're free to express their disagreements. But I have to say that I don't think it's within the authority of the election supervisor to make a judgment on that station. On that
station. And so far, I have not said anything about it being on the Pacifica website, but I did take it off of the KPFA website after it had been up for a few days.
Okay. I guess I'm surprised that people at KPFA did that, and I'm going to speak to the GM there to find out why.
And then I will protest if it goes back up on the site again.
Laverne.
Hi, thank you.
Make it quickly because we got to close out this section.
Okay, all right, thank you. All right, thank you. I just want to say that, Casey, I mean, this is a difficult job. You know, Les had it last year, and Les is there helping you, so I'm glad to see that Les is there. And that the actions that you have taken, all of this, and that's what many people consider slow, particularly that by Dan Siegel on the website, but it was taken down, so thank you for that. So, but basically, I have a couple questions. They'll be brief. I'm trying to understand the mailers. Now, look, this is the question. Now, with some mailers that went out independent of the ballot, also, did some mailers actually go in the ballot itself? Is that what happened?
No slate mailers went in the ballot envelope.
Okay,
but
so
they
the
were
other
mailed. A couple of them were mailed at the same time as the ballots were mailed.
As the ballot. Okay, so the other question, so was some of the ballots held up because the slate mailers were not ready to go out with the ballots? Did that happen?
Because we insisted that the people in New York and Los Angeles use a mailing house that was in the San Francisco Bay Area rather than the local ones that they had initially made arrangements with.
Okay. Was the house that was used, was there like a bid for that service, or they were just directed from the start because that's the mailing house that you were using?
We sent them to the mailing house that already had our list. This is a matter of security and protecting the property of the foundation.
Thank you. Because I have a GM hire committee I got to get to. So the other question is, Did you change the ballots or the statements or the mailers that went out for any of the groups or slates? I mean, did you edit those or were they sent out based on whatever the – because I know we received them from KPFA like the same day or the day after the ballots were received. So were those mailers edited or anything, or are the WBAI ballot mailers edited? Or did you do any editing of any of those mailers?
No, the precedent-setting ruling in the KQED case of 1982, to my understanding, prohibits the station from determining the content of the private mailers being sent to the membership. So I didn't see any of the mailers before they went out.
Okay, so you didn't edit any of the mailers they went out. They all went out the way they wanted to, like the ones with KQED they didn't went out with it. They went out with a banner with KPFA on it. So you didn't edit any of that.
No, but what I did do was that there was a group in New York that wanted to have the name and address imprinted on an insert and be seen through a window envelope so that if somebody returned a survey to them, that they would automatically harvest the name and address. We ruled that this was not appropriate, and that if somebody wanted to willingly write their name and address and send it with a survey, that was acceptable, but they couldn't print it on an insert. That they could only print the name and address on an outside envelope.
One information, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, time is up.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Now, let's go to item 3, which is IED report on election issues. Is Don back yet?
Yes.
I don't hear him. All right, IED report on election issues. 10 minutes.
Point of information.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I just want to say, could somebody mute? I can hear someone talk. Background talk.
We've been trying to get him to mute for the last half hour.
Could John just take that telephone and just disconnect it?
All right. Pound Town 1, I'm told, is mute. Take care of it, please. The IED report on election issues. Who's dealing with
that? Thank you, and I'll be brief. You know, the election, I think, has been very difficult, and it's been difficult because Pacifica doesn't seem to learn from its experiences. So, you know, Casey and his staff have kind of had to reinvent the election process without really having the benefit of board or staff leadership based on the last three elections. I have concerns about the fact that candidate statements were sent out without any review. I think that that's caused us a lot of problems, not only the situation in New York, but also potentially the situation in Berkeley. I think that the issue of mailings is something that we need to visit. I agree with Casey that these mailings really distort the elections by allowing people with money to have over-influence in them, and I think it would be legal and, in my opinion, advisable for Pacifica to adopt a rule which says that candidates who accept placement on the Pacifica website and have their informational material mailed out with the ballots may not engage in slate mailings or any outside mailings as candidates. There still would remain the issue there of whether mailings by members who are not candidates could be restricted. I think there's a legal issue there that we need to look at. You know, I agree with Casey. And again, Casey and I have agreed on 98% of the things that have happened, but I'm very concerned about the content of some of the mailings, particularly the one out of the group in New York that combines an endorsement for candidates with sale of flashlights, which in my opinion, and I know this is not an opinion that all the members of the board share, but in my opinion is a clear violation of the law and will probably require action by the board, if not tonight, another time, to think about its impact on the validity of the WBAI election. So those are the most important points in the short version of my report.
Excellent. I'm glad it's a short version. Let's go to item four, which are the motions regarding hate speech and candidate statements.
We're not allowed to.
Don White, can I be heard?
Of course.
Can we hear you, Don?
Glad to hear you, Don.
Okay, I think I reversed this. I think I thought I was muted, but wasn't, and now I thought I was muted, and it was. Okay, I have a question. May I pose the question?
Yes.
Yeah, my question is this. I'm a little confused over the possible restrictions in candidate statements of mentioning the actual names of staff or other candidates. My question is it permissible in a candidate statement to mention the name of another candidate or a staff person if someone is making what they consider to be a true statement, or are all references to other candidates or staff in are they all prohibited?
You're asking that too.
That should be it.
Well, let's start with Casey.
Well, Don, to my knowledge, there's no specific prohibition. However, I have advised against it. I said it characterized something as management or such and such plate, and not to mention individual names, so that no danger of libel. We have to really some of these issues in 2008 non-election year for Pacifica, and try to get so clear that people really understand them.
On information, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
this is a information from Mr. Casey Peters. Is it his understanding that name-calling, impugning motives and intent, false and misleading information, that kind of thing is allowed in the booklet?
Casey?
That is something I think that the board really needs to have a look at and perhaps even alter the bylaws to make it very clear what is allowed and what is not allowed. There's a fine line sometimes between considered political speech and what's considered to be personal insult. And, you know, hoping that we could, you know, have a bit more civility in this election, but apparently some of the candidates don't agree.
But what information?
Yeah,
and Wendy?
Yes. Don?
Yes.
You're going to take over now, right?
No, I'm not. I don't know who said I was going to take over. No, I'm not going. I'm not really prepared because I joined the call late. I don't have the agenda in front of me. I'm really not prepared. AC, you're doing a good job. Can you continue?
Ambrose.
I meant to say.
I was told that you were going to take over at 9 o'clock when you came on. That's the reason I accepted it.
Yeah, no, I'm not prepared to do that. I'm so sorry because I came on late because of an engagement, an obligation I had. I don't have the agenda in front of me, and so I'm really not prepared to do that.
Yeah, Dave, y'all trapped me again. All right.
Thank you for being here, Ambrose.
Ambrose, this is Michael. Can I get a point of information?
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about a large issue later, or is this the moment where we're supposed to, like, voice our concerns about these mailers?
Well, I would think that we would voice those concerns about the mailings when we deal with the motions.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we're on the ED report.
We've got four motions here.
This is the ED report.
Ray.
You got me too, Ambrose, right? And Lisa?
Yeah.
I
don't.
Got Lisa first, then Wendy, and then Ray.
Oh. Lisa, Wendy, and who else?
Ray LaForest.
Ray, how you doing, Ray?
Okay.
All right, Lisa, you're on.
Okay, can I be heard?
We hear you.
I hear you.
Okay. My question, because you know you're hearing about these things as they come up, and I would just like a little bit more understanding in terms of what happened with WDAI. I heard that there was a threat with the lawsuit, and that somebody held up the mailing of the ballots with the lawsuit or something to do. I mean, who did that? Could somebody please speak to this a little and give a little bit more insight?
Are you asking the IED that question?
Well, I guess the IED or Kate, whomever can answer it.
Dan? Dan, are you there?
Hello?
Yes. Did you hear the question?
I did, and I have to... Is Casey gone?
Casey, are you still with us? I know he was wanting to go.
Okay, because, I mean, that was his call. There were groups of people from Los Angeles and New York who, the whole thing, honestly, was kind of confused. These people thought that they were going to be allowed to send out mailings through their own devices or organizations of their choice, and Casey decided that they had to use Pacifica's mailing house, which is a position that I endorsed because of security and protecting the mailing list. So then these people complained, and they said, well, it's going to cost them extra money and cost them extra time to use Pacifica's mailing house. And then there was the problem with the New York mailer where they did it with the window envelope, as Casey explained. So Casey's solution to that was to hold up the mailings in order to make sure that the mailings of the ballots did not arrive before these mailing pieces by the members. And he agreed to do that.